4, 3, 2, 1. You are listening to Punk News Podcast episode 634. And it's me, John G. And I'm here with M. Moore. M. Moore, what's happening?
Hello. The Jeopardy Masters tournament is happening and it is so exciting and it's awesome. And it's so hard. It is so hard. Ooh, well, like, obviously I want Mateo to win because they're Canadian, but I don't know. Like, I really like Sam and I really like Amy. So it's between those three.
Let me see.
Do you have a favorite? There's people. James, I thought it was Kulsauer. Over.
Is it still going on?
No. Yeah. It's, it started this week and it runs for like 3 weeks, I think. And then it's so exciting. Oh my God. So it's like an hour and it's two games per hour. And it's so, so good. Oh my God.
I saw some of the matches. I can't stand the gambler. I can't stand that guy.
You don't like James?
No, I hate him.
Why?
Because he's a douchebag. and he's cocky and he's just a dick. Like, he's mean. He's mean spirited.
Did you see the one where he took off his shoes?
No, I'm glad I didn't. I like Madame Odio and I like the guy that looks like Steve Martin.
Sam.
Yeah, yeah. And let me see who else is there that I might like. Let's see here. I'm trying to see Jeopardy Masters. I do love Jeopardy. Who do you like better, Ken or Mayim Bialik or Bialik?
Ooh, they have two different styles. Like with Ken, it's like he's competing almost. And then with Mayim, she's just like, yeah, cool. You got the answer right. She just wants everyone to have a good time. So it's two completely different games. Like hers are more relaxed and his are more like almost intense. I think they balance each other out well. I'd like to see them like face to face, like against like do a face off with Jeopardy questions. Because I think that'd be really fun.
You mean competing or being the host?
Competing.
Oh, I think Ken would whip Mayim. I mean, I really can't stand Mayim. I think she's phony. Because I think she's phony. I think she's smug. She backs pseudoscience. She's regressive. I can't stand
Wait,
her.
Wait, what?
I
What's the pseudoscience and regression stuff?
Oh, I'll look. She's in all that hoodoo juju stuff like Dr. Oz and stuff. Let me look here.
Oh, but I didn't know that.
She's like way into that stuff. Like she's toned it back now that she's trying to get the Jeopardy job because it was like hurting her. But like she's way into all that bullshit. Although honestly, I like Ken, but I don't like Ken as much. And here's why: is Ken it like Ken's constantly trying to show how smart he is, and he's constantly trying to make jokes that aren't that funny. It's like Ken, the ideal host, just shut up and read the questions. You know what I mean? That's all you have to do. it's in the bag. You know. That being said, Ken's not the worst choice. I like Ken overall. Although I think actually Ken actually might be kind of a jerk to tell you the truth. But he's always trying to like have a topper joke. It's like, no, Ken, if you know anything about interviewing Ken, let the subject have the topper. The very best interviewers across the board are the ones that actually don't try to outsmart other people. At least on face value. The reason why Conan O'Brien could never break through to bigger talk show host is because he's always trying to show that he's smarter or more clever or whatever than the subject he's interviewing. And I like Conan O'Brien, but like sometimes you just gotta let the subject be the star. If you let the subject be the star, then you too will be the star, you know. And Ken is having trouble with that. He's constantly throwing in jokes. No, Ken, no jokes. just do it straight, man. I'm trying to remember, like, of the people that tried out, who both the newscaster ladies were good. What one was Cecily Tynan or Cicely Tynan? She was good, and also the other one. Let me see. Was it Robin something? Let me see here. Jeopardy. I know this is what the listeners want to hear, but I do enjoy Jeopardy host tryouts. Let's see who was it.
I think Sam should be the host. I think they should make the winner of like Masters the host, or like somebody like that, because Sam would be like awesome at it. Amy would be great at it. Like Mateo would be great. Like, you know, lots of good folks.
I think Sam would be good at it. I would not want James. I would strangle the dude. Let's
see. Oh my God, have you watched The Chase?
Yes.
And when he like comes on with that, it's just like, ugh.
I know. Have you seen the Beast in the new game show that he's on, Masterminds?
I didn't know he was on a new game show. No,
he's on a show called Masterminds, and it's really, I like the Beast a lot. On The Chase, he was like unbeatable, But now in Masterminds, he gets his ass kicked every game. Like, so I almost wonder, like, were they feeding him answers on the chase or something? Because he does terrible now.
At any rate, okay.
We'll wrap this up. Robin Roberts is really good on the tryouts. Let's see here. Katie Couric was good. Ken was decent. Honestly, I really wanted LeVar to like destroy, but the fact he kind of just did it. Sadly, his voice is kind of blown out, and that does make a difference. You know, I think if he had his old voice, he would have done much better. LeVar would have been awesome.
He would have got it easy.
Although, he's pretty old though too. He's like 70 something. You know, and honestly, he looked much older than I remember. That's because I'm watching Star Trek from like 30 years ago, but. So, anyways, that's our Jeopardy talk. But it's kind of a slow news week because we're in the summer doldrums. You know, after Christmas and the summer tend to be the slowest news weeks. But one thing I do want to mention, listen, M. Moore, Smokey Robinson, one of the greatest singers of all time, right? Tears of a Clown, You Better Shop Around. Let's see what other some of the big hits by the Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Trying to think. Mickey's Monkey, Tracks of My Tears, Going to a Go-Go. You Really Got a Hold on Me, I Second That Emotion. The Smokey Robinson and the Miracles are absolutely fantastic. And I've never seen Smokey Robinson live, but I want to. He's 83 now, and he's still doing shows. And he just put out a brand new album on April 28th. And Moore, what do you think Smokey Robinson's new album is called?
Getting Too Old for This Shit.
It's called Gasms. That is the name of Smokey Robinson's new album, who is 83 years old. Gasms. Emma, what do you think of the name Gasms by Smokey Robinson?
I can say I wasn't expecting it. I'll go right there. And good for him for still having Gasms at 83.
See, I think it sounds pervy. No one wants to hear about an 83-year-old dude getting off. You know what I mean? And I mean, listen, I'm not trying to say old people shouldn't get it on, because old people should get it on, whatever. But you know what? Like anybody walking around talking about getting off is gross. And, you know, old people, it just comes off as pervy, particularly his word choice. You know what I mean? Like, he could have been more subtle or whatever. It just comes off as wrong. So I don't know.
What would you rather? Just like little deaths? Like...
Little deaths. Like, what does that mean? Yeah,
that's another word, like term for orgasm.
Who? What? I've never heard that. What?
Yeah, it translates from French, le petit mort. Little deaths. Yeah.
Never heard that ever. Little deaths. What do I want to hear it called? I want the album to be called Smokey Robinson's umpteenth album. You know, that no one will buy, but maybe we'll go see him do the hits. No, listen. Here are the other songs on his album. Gasms, the title.
So that's a, okay.
How You Make Me Feel, I Want to Know Your Body, a little Ski. I Keep Calling You, I'll Take I Keep Calling You, Roll Around, how about Beside You, you know? Although I will say, track eight is called You Fill Me Up, and track nine is called I Fit In There. I will say, to Smokey's credit, is I wouldn't be talking about Smokey Robinson on the Punk News podcast unless his album was called Gasms. But I, you know, they say, you know, all press is good press. I don't know if I agree with that. Now when I'm up there, when he's singing, you know, if my smile seems out of place, I'm thinking that's an old pervert up there. You know, so, you know, I don't know, man.
The ulterior motive shine through.
The listeners don't want to hear. Totally unrelated. Well, actually, I won't even go into it. Anyways, the point being, I was thinking about people that aren't who you think they are. Alex Trebek. Everyone loves Alex Trebek. I am not a fan.
Why?
I'm not gonna do that now. It'll destroy your world anymore. I won't go into it.
Okay.
But let's talk about Frank Kozik, who sadly just passed away. Frank Kozik, of course, was a very, very famous 90s and 2000s. Artist for many bands. He's on the cover. He designed the cover for a lot of great bands. Of course, he designed Melvin's album covers, which are famous. He designed some of the Dwarves' more striking album covers in the 90s. Offspring. He also did posters for Beastie Boys, White Stripes, Nirvana, Sonic Youth, Shonen Nice, X Cops. He did a little bit of their album, I think. Queens of the Stone Age. He did, and he passed away. He wasn't even that old. I think he was like 60 something.
61.
61. Kozik really, I mean, as soon as you saw the Kozik work, it's kind of, it's almost kind of like Roy Lichtenstein, or maybe partially Raymond Pettibon. Very bold, very bright, kind of comic booky, kind of Sunday paperish looking. And you can, as he was such a great artist that, like, as soon as you saw an image he designed, you're like, that's definitely a Kozik. And then, of course, it was. He really was. And no one's really, I mean, people have tried to copy, but no one's been able to do it just like him. So, I mean, it's a real loss. It's sad. But he really, I mean, he definitely gets some props, but I don't know if he gets enough props as being one of the boldest and most interesting and most striking artists of the 90s and the 2000s when it comes to music. I mean, his work is really interesting. And also, he did something I think well that a lot of artists did bad or not that good in the 90s is he would just do like a fly and put like the Melvins or like a, you know, a banana and put like Sonic Youth. And a lot of bands would just do something very ordinary and put the name next one and the poster looked boring or the shirt looked boring. Kozik was very, and he didn't always do this, but Kozik was very good at taking the mundane and putting a band name next to it and making some sort of connection or making it look interesting in some way. So I think, because I mean, the thing in the 90s, music-wise, was take a boring picture and put your name next to it and like that's the work, you know, like a spoon or a can or you know, a rubber ducky, like just something very boring in of itself. It's like, oh, what is this? It's like, it's boring is what it is. But Kozik was very good at not doing that and doing really cool, interesting work. So RIP Frank Kozik, definitely one of the most important 90s and 2000s music visual artists for sure. And more. Were you shocked? And what do you think of Kozik's work?
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that he'd passed away, like, especially at 61. Like, that's not very old, and that really, 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 really sucks. So, obviously, like, condolences to his family and friends. They must be really, you know, like, having a hard time. But his work is, like you said, like, it's amazing. It's iconic. It's very recognizable. And, like, it's... it fits everything like so well, like the Offspring Americana album, like that couldn't have had a better like visual pairing, you know, like that's so striking and it's just so colorful and so interesting and like the front and then the back is different and it shows like the story of it where it's not just like a static like character, like a lot of thought went into it. And that's something that I really appreciate. And I love when people do that because it's so interesting. It's like, you could tell he really put heart and soul and effort and into his work and it'll live forever. There'll be a lot of people. Well, there are a lot of people now who are inspired by his artwork and there will be so many more in the future. So I'm glad he made his art. I'm glad it's out there and it's really sad that he's gone.
Well, speaking of RIP Kozik, but speaking of daring art, The Garden have released a video for Haunted House on Zillow, which I think is a funny title in of itself. It's off their latest album, Horseshit on Route 66, which came out late last year, I believe. It was kind of a quieter release because they self-released it and there wasn't a whole ton of press behind it. But anyway, so they put out their new video and the song is super short. It's only about a minute and a half or not even, kind of throwing back to some of their earliest stuff. I actually really dug this. I thought the track was cool. I thought the video was cool. I think the track is real cool. I think the video is kind of cool. It's them continuing their court jester approach. And I thought it's loud. It honestly kind of reminded me of Flipper. It's loud, fast, and abrasive. And what is cool is The Garden are really in kind of a golden age in that they're flipping between kind of like this very synthy electronic thing that they've developed over the past 4 or 5 years. But then suddenly they'll flip into something very aggressive and avant-garde and very punk. And I think they're one of the most interesting punk bands, and they definitely are a punk band for sure around right now. Emma, what did you think of Haunted House on Zillow?
Funny title and like... completely agree. Every house is haunted in some way because even if no one has passed away in the house, like emotions leave residue. So when you live somewhere for so long, you're going to experience very high highs and extremely low lows. And that's in so many houses and so many places. And it's just fascinating to think about that and think about kind of the what it means for something to be haunted, because it's not necessarily ghosts. So anyway, I really liked that part of it. It was really cool. And like, there's this like spooky kind of like maniacal laughter like throughout the song, which I really liked. I like when people throw in like stuff like that in songs when it works out, like, because I don't know, it just adds something. It's like, that was really fun. But I like the second half of the song where like it goes from, you know, like there's stuff going on, but then in the second half it just gets like noisier, like it just gets super chaotic and there's just so much going on and whatever. So I really liked the last like little bit, because that was really, really rad. So like at the beginning it starts with like people talking, and at the end it ends with people talking, and I was trying to figure out like, is that a sample, like is it from a movie, is it from a TV show? Like I tried looking it up and I couldn't find anything. So do you know if that's one of those, or is it just something that they decided to do for the song?
You know, it does sound like a sample, but I don't know what it's from, if it's from anything, or it might just be one of their own field recordings or one of their own recordings, but I don't know what it's from.
That's so cool. It's a mystery.
It is a mystery. So yeah, I mean, the Garden is just always changing and always doing interesting things. And they're not a huge band, but they're definitely, their band is, you know, playing 2,000 capacity venues for sure, which is pretty big. And it is interesting that the band, this avant-garde and this weird, is so popular. And it just goes, but I mean, a lot of weird avant-garde stuff is popular right now, yeah, with, I guess, so-called straight society or normal society. But I don't even know if there is normal society anymore, because there's so many subdivisions and subcultures and that kind of thing. So I don't know. Is there normies and non-normies now, or is just everything so its own thing these days?
I think there are definitely normies. I think if someone doesn't interact with certain things, like they're not, like say they're not in the punk scene and they're not being exposed to like cool noisy bands, and they're not being exposed to like different art forms or whatever, then if they don't seek it out, they're just gonna, you know, kind of stick their head in the sand and move along like their daily lives. And I, you know, like that's fine for some people and whatever, but I really want to see kind of like what we're seeing now, like the destruction of normalcy, where it's like, you know what, everything is just what it is. It doesn't have to fit into a certain box. It doesn't have to fit into this, like, genres are just suggestions, like, you know. So I like everything moving into a more weird sphere, because it's more exciting. There's more stuff going on. You can be more creative and have more freedom. And I think we should really be pushing for that and pushing against kind of like quote unquote normalcy, because that only holds us back, because that's what, you know, breeds like status quo thinking and like, oh well, I can never achieve this, so I'm not even going to try, and like breeds this really, really, really fucked up apathy. So all for the weird stuff.
I think you came up with the next title for the next Garden album, Weird Sphere. That sounds very Garden. let's do one more story before we play a track. Fishbone. Finally announced their long-rumored EP. It's kind of surprising that it's an EP. They haven't put out anything in a long, long time. Let me take a look here. And so you think they come out with an album or a single preceding an album, but they're putting out an EP. The EP is, I mean, the single itself. So the last album was Wow and More. What do you think the last album was?
It was like 6 years ago, wasn't it?
Way longer than that.
10 years ago?
More.
What?
Oh, well, there was a thing called Intrinsically Entwined. Is that okay? So they
that
did put
counts.
Out an EP. They did put out an EP 9 years ago. So
oh my god, okay.
You know? And then before that, the last album was 2006, which is almost 20 years ago. I mean, not quite, but almost. And so they are putting out a new EP, and the new single is billed as a co-track with NOFX and Fishbone, and the song is called Estranged Fruit. And of course, the new EP is produced by Fat Mike, and it's going to be out on Fat Mike's record label. What's Fat Mike's record label, Amore?
Bottles to the Ground.
Right, not Fat Records, and so people can kind of do their own math there. and so anyways, that's out May 26th. And more, did you enjoy the new Fishbone track? And are you surprised that it's an EP? And what do you think of Fat Mike's involvement?
I am surprised it's an EP because I thought it would be longer, but at the same time, it makes sense that it's an EP. They're probably just, you know, putting out these songs. They're on tour and stuff. So I think a later release will happen when there's more time. But this, okay, this track is really, really interesting and really, really good. And there is so much like to dig into here. So obviously, like the title is referencing Strange Fruit by Billie Holiday. And the song also like takes like influence, like takes parts of like the horn section and the piano section from that song. The vocal delivery mimics Billie Holiday's vocal delivery. The lyrical content is obviously very similar. And the first line of Estranged Fruit is, where are we here? The poplar trees are now populous and not just in the South. And that's referencing the lyrics from Strange Fruit, which is Southern trees bear strange fruit and strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree. So like, it's so cool to have all these like callbacks and have all of these like very important, like historical, songs. Like Strange Fruit was just so important as a song and so like it needed to be out there, and like they she kept singing the song and everything, like even after like the FBI was like, hey, stop, she's like, no, this is wrong, people need to know about this and everything. So like that's really commendable. So I think it's so cool how they've taken that song, they've been like, hey, a lot of stuff's still happening and we're going to use certain elements from this song in our song to pay tribute to that and to further the discussion. So that was, again, super, super cool. I really like this song. It's very like powerful. It has this very ominous vibe to it. The lyrics are really interesting. And again, there's a lot there. And I thought it was, I didn't really hear the NOFX like collaboration part of it until like the 3 minute mark, and then there's like the 30 seconds where it speeds up. It is more of like a NOFX feeling, and like Fat Mike is singing in the background, like, hey man, hey cop, please cop, don't shoot, kind of thing, over and over and over again. So I thought that kind of like, obviously it ties in, but I thought that kind of came out of nowhere with like the speeding up and changing it more into a NOFX-y type song, because I liked how it was before. I've listened to the song a couple times and it has grown on me how it does speed up and then it does have the fade out, kind of like the original, or kind of like how Strange Fruit does, which was really interesting. I don't know what to make of Fat Mike's involvement yet. I liked the song they put out with the video, the All We Have Is Now. I really liked that song and I really like this song. So at this point, I'm pro Fat Mike's involvement. John, what do you think?
I think the song is good. I think they do benefit from Fat Mike's focus on it. Like Fat Mike loves the poppy stuff up. He loves to, I guess, super produce things, which I'm usually not a fan of. I think he often overproduces things. But that being said, I think Fishbone kind of needs a little bit of direction, because a lot of their tracks are just all over the place, and sometimes the production is not that good. So I think definitely Angelo is the firepower behind
Fishbone. Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, people are so artistic, are so good. They have so many ideas firing off at once. As you mentioned, like the lyrics are super clever and are referencing all these things. Sometimes you need someone to kind of, I guess, bring it down to ground so it's at least digestible. And I actually think Fat Mike does a great job here. So I think this is one of the better Fishbone things in a long, long time. So I think it's cool. You know, historically, I've not been a Fishbone fan just because I want to be. I just don't get it. But something like this is, I'm coming around on it. So I think this is cool. And this might be the EP that makes me a Fishbone fan. So let's play Fishbone Does a Strange Fruit, and we'll be back.
The poplar trees are now populous, and not just in the south. Now fear has cloaked compassion. We must join voices and speak out. We may not see as many bodies hanging from the trees, 'cause they're busy lynching our ideals, our pride and liberties. Limbs across America might now bear a less strange fruit, because when cops can justly shoot, this genocide of common sense, this high-on decency, is making hate seem great again on Fox commentary.
This strange fruit, this strange fruit.
It's too hard to face that we're all owned by the 1%. Why don't everybody understand that since all humans are tethered, when one race is dehumanized, we all get tall and feathered. Marginalizing minorities is just a rich using the poor. Don't let yourself be drafted in this chopped up race war. Our racism was infinite.
Yeah,
bigotry is not innate. With no one to police the police, it must be a police state.
And we are back, and more. Tell me,
yeah,
and tell the listeners about Jules and the Rollers.
All right. Okay, so Jules and the Rollers are a really cool band. They are out of LA. They absolutely rip. So the band started as a solo project of like lead vocalist and guitarist Jules Batterman, but evolved into a band when she moved from New York to Los Angeles. And the current lineup came together in 2021, and they played their first show together in 2022, which is pretty cool. So they're releasing their debut EP, Is This Where the Party Is, next week, which is very exciting. And we premiered the video for Be Something New. So Be Something New was released earlier as a single from the album, and the video was just released, and their recent press pictures show them like in wigs and stuff, and that's from shooting this video. So Be Something New, the whole like thing is like, you know, sometimes you just want to be something new, you want to have a change of pace, you want to have a change of environment, a change of like look, a change of whatever, and just be able to have that ability to evolve and to shift and to do what you want. So like the song has like a bluesy garage rock kind of feel to it. There's like a little bit of pop in there too. The chorus is extremely catchy. Like Jules has a great voice. Everybody else in the band is obviously very, very talented. And the video is very fun. So like it shows the band multicolored wigs and like fun outfits. They're walking around Los Angeles. They're dancing, they're shopping, they're playing video games. They're just like having the best time. And it seems really, really fun. You know, like you want to be a part of it kind of thing. So I really like this band. I think they're going to do a lot of very cool things. And yeah, keep your eyes peeled for my interview with Jules, Hannah, and Shay coming next week. So John, what did you think of the video and the song?
Yeah, I dig it. I before the show last week, I was talking about this band Knee Highs, the Sam and M.
Yeah.
And actually kind of reminds me of the band Knee Highs that I just saw, which are I guess not fully there yet, but are definitely have a good trajectory so far. Anyway, yeah, I thought this was cool. I thought it was interesting. It's definitely an M more kind of band, and I dig it for sure. So, yeah. Let's see here. Okay, so this is just a quickie. Rat Cage. They've released two songs. They are off Savage Visions, and they've got a new album out on La Vida Es Un Luz on June 9. And it looks like I forgot to actually link the tracks on the article. Anyways, Rat Cage is one of these, you know, neo-hardcore bands that everyone loves, and they are cool. But the question is, yes. A lot of neo-hardcore is it's both neo-NYHC hardcore and a band like Speed, but also a band like Rat Cage, which is like neo-Poison Idea-ish hardcore. It doesn't do a whole lot of new things. It sounds awesome, but it doesn't do a whole lot of new things. What's your opinion on Rat Cage, and what's your opinion on the neo-hardcore movement where it sounds awesome, but it's been done before?
Well, like what the
unless
whole
you,
like...
Unless you disagree with my premise, maybe you disagree with my premise.
I think there are some bands like that you could probably classify as like neo-hardcore who are doing mixing it up a little bit. Like they're having they're bringing in different influences. They're again, they're small changes, but they're changes like nonetheless. And I think it's good. I think it's needed because what we're living through, what we have been living through, like, is such a time of such like intense anger, and like what is the best genre suited, in my opinion, to like releasing anger? That's hardcore punk. So in this case, I don't really care if like these neo hardcore bands are reinventing the wheel. I'm pissed off. I want to hear something that's going to reflect that I can like sing along to, that I can like, you know, scream and move and kind of like release some of that energy. So I think the neo-hardcore movement speaks to the time we're living in more than anything. And again, there are some bands that are really pushing it to like different limits. But then again, when I say that, it's what do you classify as neo-hardcore? Because again, so many bands come to mind and it's like, well, I don't know if they would fall under that umbrella, or I don't know if they would fall under this umbrella, or, you know, whatever. So I'm all for more hardcore punk, and I'm all for people doing it really, really, really well. Like, you know, Gel does it really well, and like Rat Cage does it just super, super well. Like, I liked their In the Shadow of the Bomb single from like last year or the year before. That was really good. And then the two songs that they did release, Scapegoats of Fear and Change from a Fiver off of this album, they're good. Like they're very technical, like very technically good. They're very, like you have that like connection to it. Like the vocalist voice rocks. Like Scapegoats of Fear is more like It has like more of a metal influence. The vocals are more like guttural almost, but there's still like a element of like melodicity to it, like when they're doing like the as thing, like they're very like catchy in that way, which is really cool. Like, and then with Change from a Fiver, it's just like ripping like punk. That's like, there's a spoken piece from like a news clip, I don't know what it's from, at the beginning. It's very like driven, it's fast, it's furious, it's great. Both of them have really interesting guitar work. And yeah, I am looking forward to this album. The art for this is really cool. It's like an eyeball held in crosshairs, and in the pupil you can see a mushroom cloud rising off, I think it's the earth, which is, you know, super cool. So that's my stance. I think I'm all for more hardcore music, as long as they're doing it well, they're mixing it up, and they're not just copying, like, you know, Terror or something. John, what's your stance on neo hardcore and Rat Cage?
You've sort of changed my opinion to a degree. I was going to say, I've heard this before, I'm tired of it. But actually, you're right that it is reflective of the time that we're in. And honestly, like hardcore, neo hardcore that's been done before, it does sound totally rad. So, yeah. You know, it's definitely not the worst thing in the world. I'll take it over, you know, bullshit pop punk or bullshit, you know, be my girlfriend and let's go get pizza, blah, 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 I'm a bonehead, blah, 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 be my girlfriend, let's go get pizza, I'm a bonehead, blah, blah, blah. True, but on the other hand, I do think that there's so much opportunity for a new hardcore band to come along and do something just totally crazy and blow everyone's mind. But on the other hand, people have kind of shown that they don't want their minds to be blown. Like, if you look at Lotion, which is absolutely fantastic and is a new hardcore band that's doing wild new stuff, they're respected, they're known, and people dig them, they have a fan base, but they're not as big as the biggest neo-hardcore band right now. Also, look at Zorn, the band that's kind of doing like death rock and death metal and just kind of goth stuff merged into neo-hardcore. That band is friggin' awesome. And, you know, they definitely have a fan base, but they're not as big as, say, like Warthog, which is a band that is just, let's just do hardcore again, guys, you know. And so I like Warthog, but I've heard Warthog before in so many other bands. So, yes, I agree that it is cool. Just sometimes you just want to hear some hard freaking core. But I wish more bands took chances. Bands like, I mean, there were bands that you, like Ink and Dagger is pretty wild. Ceremony took a lot of chances, but even before they kind of morphed over. And so Integrity, definitely. And so those are the effed up. Those are kind of the hardcore bands that kind of get weirder and freakier are the ones I like that maybe maintain a hardcore base. I wish more bands did that. But, well, listen, the universe is not built for John. It's not built for anybody. Anyway, let's do at least one more story. Although, I mean, we're really only like 30 minutes in. But
we can do the one that we cut. I have stuff to say about it.
If you want to talk about it, you can. But yeah. Let's do this story first. Is Rancid has announced their only headlining tour this year. I actually don't have the article up because this one's sort of a
last audible. Minute addition. Yes, dear readers.
Oh, here it is.
Or dear listeners, sorry.
So Rancid will be playing Boston on September 18th and September 19th with Agnostic Front and Murphy's Law, and as well as Grade 2. And they have it. And here's, you say, okay, well, Rancid is playing one or two headlining shows. So what? The weird thing is they've got an album coming out this year. And actually, the album coming out is really just a little bit before the headlining shows. Actually, it's a lot before. The album comes out June 2. And the headlining shows are September 18th and September 19th. Now, of course, Rancid does have some festival dates, punk rock, blowing, some other things. But it's so weird for a band as big as Rancid to be putting out an album and not touring behind it. Usually when a big band puts out an album, they basically plan a tour the whole year. So is Rancid not touring? I mean, one option is, they are going to be touring, but opening for an even bigger band. And I'll just throw out this isn't even a rumor, like a band like the Foo Fighters or a band like Pearl Jam, which I guess Rancid could open for. But on one hand, is that's sort of unlikely to happen because a band like Foo Fighters or Pearl Jam are big enough, they don't even really need openers. So their openers tend not to be bands as big as Rancid. They tend to be smaller because, you know, paying a bigger band is just kind of a waste of money. But also, wouldn't Rancid prefer, even if they had that option? Rancid's not going to make like an insane amount of money opening for someone. So, and then Rancid makes good money. So you think if they have a new album coming out, they would tour themselves and not open for somebody. Also, you would think that even if they were opening for, say, Pearl Jam or whoever, they would still do their own dates to promote. I mean, you know, it's not a 250-date tour if they open for Pearl Jam. It'd be like a 30-day tour or a 60-day. You know what I mean? So you think they'd plenty of other time to tour. So that's kind of weird. Or is there discord among the band and they're really not getting along and that's why there's not that many dates? Or do they not care about the album? Or has the, quote, paradigm of album promotion totally changed? And that, like, you don't even tour behind an album anymore because the albums make no money whatsoever. It used to be you would tour behind an album to sell an album. So bands actually go on tour to move physical units. Then, you know, after it kind of flipped in the late 90s, and especially once the digital age took over. But it was even happening before when Madonna and the Rolling Stones and a few other bands started, and Bruce Springsteen started to play these massive tours. It kind of flipped in that you would put out an album to get people interested to come see you live, you see.
Yeah.
And so that kind of became the dynamic, is that the album is almost a promotional thing to get people to pay to see you live and to buy a t-shirt and whatever. But now our album sales so poor that that it doesn't even support a tour anymore, and it's completely irrelevant. And the other, so then you say, well, why I put out an album? And you can say, well, for the artistic statement. But Rancid has made it pretty clear that they're all pretty happy doing their own thing, not as Rancid. So why are they putting out an album and not doing headlining shows behind it? I mean, I guess the only possible result that I would not be super surprised about is there's either a tour. Maybe actually, maybe I stumbled upon it. Remember there was that Hella Mega tour with like Green Day and Weezer. Maybe they're planning something like that. You see, so that might be that might be a good answer. Maybe. You know. But otherwise, I'm totally surprised that they're not putting more behind it, unless there's major discord in the band, which I don't know for a fact. I don't even know there's a rumor, but that's one possible answer of many answers.
They are touring pretty much all of June in Europe.
With who?
They had with the Bronx in Grade 2, and then they're playing. Well, then
why is this called then... only?
They're only U.S. headlining tour.
Oh, that's still weird.
No, it is. So, are they focusing more on the European audience? Like, do you think they're going to, or do they think that they're going to like it more than the U.S. audience? You know, is there something there? Is it we get treated better when we play Europe than we get treated when we play the U.S.?
I think at Rancid's level, you get treated pretty good no matter where you're at. You know, for a small band, that can be true. But for a band of Rancid size, you get treated great wherever you go. Because, you know, I mean, they're playing the Live Nations of North America and whatever the Live Nation equivalent in Europe is, which is probably Live Nation. So no matter where they go, they're personally getting treated pretty well, you know.
Yeah. No, it does make you wonder, what's going on, unless they do just want more. They want to, you know, do this, have the album be out, play some shows, and then focus on their other projects.
Do you think that they actually still love making music and they're just putting out an album just to put out an album and not? But see, I can't buy that, because even if you just love putting out albums, which Tim Armstrong does love doing, and he does put out a lot of cool stuff, is there's so much money in Rancid that I can't believe that even you know, Tim and Lars and Matt are all pretty wealthy, or Brett rather, they're all pretty wealthy, but there's so much money on the table, I can't imagine they would put out an album just to put it out and not tour and make, you know, 5 mil each, 10 mil each, you know what I mean, without that much work. You know, it's pretty hard to say no to that.
Yeah, unless it's a time thing. Unless there's stuff that we don't know that they're working on, that there's a lot of different projects where it's, we like this album, we made this album, we want to share this album with y'all, and then we're going to go do something else now.
Separate
ways, and then we're going to come back. Because they had, was it with Flogging Molly or something that they did a co-headlining tour with last year?
Oh, I thought that was with Dropkick Murphys.
Maybe it was Dropkick Murphys. It was a Celtic punk band. So, I'm pretty sure it was Dropkick Murphys, actually, now that you mention it. So maybe they feel like they got their touring out of the way before they put the new album out, and they did it kind of in reverse, where it's like, we're going to tour a bunch, we're going to get people excited that we're here and still doing things, and then we're going to put out an album. Maybe it was in reverse. But I could also see you being right with the, they are going to announce like co-headlining tour dates and kind of, you know, being sneaky with, these are our only headlining dates, you know, in the US.
If I had to bet, I think I would guess, as I said, I would bet that they're saying, oh, we're going on tour, like a co-headlining tour with Green Day or whoever, you know, although I guess Green Day is probably way bigger than Rancid, as big as Rancid is probably, right?
I'd say probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, whoever. I mean, I've seen Rancid before. Actually, I've seen Rancid before. Rancid is cool and good live, but they just do one thing that honestly is kind of a bummer. And I saw them at two punk rock bowlings ago, and I won't be seeing them at this punk rock bowling, because instead of going to punk rock bowling, Summer Soiree 6 in Philadelphia, the Dwarves Legacy, the Dwarves doing a very special performance where they are doing a special set celebrating all of their classic albums. And we will have special edition of the album that you can only get at the show, including Pink Floyd parodies, including Rolling Stone parodies with working zippers, including Three Cocaines that comes with a little baggie of white powder and other things as well. Anyways, the point being is I saw Rancid at a punk rock bowling, and they were good, but between – so actually it was Flag and then Rancid. I think it was Flag and then Rancid. It was Damned, Flag and then Rancid, I think. And Damned were amazing, and Flag was amazing, and they just came out and whipped ass. Rancid came out, and like every song or every other song, they're like, who remembers this one back in 1996? And then Laws would play these songs, and Laws would be like, in 1993, me and Tim were in Japan, and we wrote this song. And it felt very much like an oldies act. You know, like Flag and Damned, even though they're much older than Rancid, didn't feel oldies at all. It felt it didn't feel like young, but it felt like timeless art, and these guys are here to do damage, and these guys are the champs, you know? Whereas Rancid felt like Smokey Robinson. It's like, Tears of a Clown came out in 1966 and it changed the world and I'm going to sing it. You know, like it was like this, here's Rancid from the 90s. You know, which I don't think, I think it was a very bad move on their part. I think people would be much more wowed by Rancid if they just came out and whipped ass and didn't say anything. Like, it was, I guess, weird. It made them seem so much older than Flag and Damned, even though those bands are 20 years older than Rancid, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it does have something to do with like the staying power. Maybe it does have something to do with, oh, we know a lot of people who are here for nostalgia. Maybe there's something.
Well, I think that's it. I think a lot of people for Rancid are there for nostalgia, which I guess that brings in money, which I think it probably does, but it also kind of like hammers you to never being anything more than nostalgia. You know, like once you're nostalgia, it's very hard to not be nostalgia. Now, Johnny Cash did it.
True.
But it's tough. It's tough, you know.
If Rancid puts out a Gasms album, I can't.
There you have it. Rancid Gasms. This song, this song's about me and Tim and when we had Gasms back. And more, you want to talk about anything else, or should we wrap this up after that horrible comment you made?
We can talk about the last thing.
Well, go ahead.
If you want. Just to touch on it. Yeah, so Duff McKagan, who, you know, was in punk bands before he was in Guns N' Roses, released a video for his new song, his new song called This Is the Song, which that's the title. And it's off an EP of the same name that he released for Mental Health Awareness Month. So, like, This Is the Song, the video is him and he's playing guitar, and the background has handwritten lyrics and the colors are changing of the lights and on the background and all that kind of stuff. So, like, it looks kind of cool. And it's acoustic, but it's very, like, it's a very comforting song, I guess, is the way to put it. Like, it feels very much like someone's just kind of like giving you a, like, stroking your hair, being like, it's all good, you're okay, you know, like, you're fine, which is really nice, because he's talking about in it like his struggles with like anxiety and panic attacks and all that kind of stuff. And those were two things that he really opened up about and like spoke at length at in his book, It's So Easy and Other Lies. And that book is something that I happened to see in a library once, And after high school, I had like a huge Guns N' Roses like phase, and I don't trust anybody who didn't, because like that happens at some point in your life. But he was like my favorite member. I also really like Slash, but I got into his solo stuff at that point and found his book, and it was really refreshing to see somebody talking about that stuff, who, you know, like you kind of like see or are trained to see, I guess, as like this big rock star. And I was like, no, like I, you know, have panic attacks all the time, and this is partly, you know, like all this kind of stuff. And it's nice to, you know, have that out there, and again, read it. And I found that book at like the perfect time in my life and read it at like the perfect time. So yeah, I thought it was cool. It has like nice and hopeful vibes, and I didn't know it was Mental Health Awareness Month, so that was kind of fun too. So yeah, that's my piece on Duff McKagan. Do you have a piece on Duff McKagan, John?
My piece on Duff McKagan is Duff is cool. Duff's real cool. He has been in a couple of punk bands, including the Farts and some other bands. He was in he might have been in a certain band that maybe should have been a bigger deal than it was, but it was kind of secretive, and you know, that band was cool.
Yeah, that band was cool.
And so anyways, so Duff is cool. I thought this track was maybe a little overwrought, but you know, whatever. I mean, maybe it means something meaningful to someone else. And I think he's putting it out for genuine reasons. So I think it's cool. And I think Duff should keep doing what Duff does, because what Duff does is darn cool. So yeah. Anything else coming up cool? You looking forward to any shows? Oh, you're going to Pooza.
I'm going to Pooza. Hell yeah.
Are you excited about Pooza? What's going on? Pooza. What's going to happen at Pooza? What are you going to do at Pooza? What are you looking forward to?
Pooza's next week. Oh my God. I have I've been working on my schedule so much, like moving stuff around, trying to figure out like what bands to see, because like there's so many that are like super awesome. So like Single Mothers are playing, Maddie Grace is playing, The Dirty Nil are playing, like Flying Raccoon Suit and Joystick and the Filthy Radicals are all playing the same night. So it's going to be like ska night. Hans Gruber and the Diehards are playing another night. So it's like a different, but they're not part of like the big ska night. But like, they're really cool too. Like there's just Screaming Females are playing, and I have them down to see like regardless of whatever, because since like we were talking about them on the podcast and like that their most recent album like kicks ass, it's so good, and like John, hearing you talk about them and like seeing them live and stuff, it's like, oh my God, I have to see them. Like I have the opportunity to, so I have to take it. There's a lot of really cool like Canadian bands, obviously, because it's a Canadian festival. Two, there's Taxi Girls, who are releasing their like debut single on the 18th, which is pretty cool. So they've been playing live for quite a while, and the only way I know about them is from people posting like live videos. It's like, oh my gosh, I want to check these people out. Like that's pretty cool. There's just such a mix. There's like some bands that only sing in French. There's international bands like, oh, there's just so much like cool shit to do, just so much cool stuff. I'm really excited because this is my first time at a music festival too. So it's like, I don't want to overdo it. I need to remember to eat and drink and stuff. And I'm really excited to get food there, like bagels and poutine and smoked meat and like their coffee. I saw somebody post a picture of it and it looks like pudding, and it looks really, really good. Like it looks like thick. So want to get some of that. Pastries, like, oh my God, pastries. I'm really excited for the food. It'll be a trip of firsts too. I've never taken the VIA train. I've taken the GO train lots, but I don't know what a VIA experience is like. So I'm just super stoked. I've been to the one museum in Quebec and that's it. I've never been fully in Quebec. And really excited to do that and experience that and be in a different province, because I've only really ever been in Ontario, which is really crazy to think. But then, you know, Canada's huge and Ontario's huge, and it takes a really long time to get to different provinces. So, you know, it's exciting. I'm really excited. There's going to be so many cool bands. so many cool folks. Really excited to meet a lot of people and like see people that I haven't seen for a long time. So I'm really, really excited about that. Yeah, if you see me and you want to come say hi, yeah, you can. If you see me and want to be a dick, then don't. So yeah, super stoked.
Well, sounds like a cool
what's stuff that? Coming up. Do you have any cool stuff coming up?
Yes, Summer Soiree 6, Amboy. I just talked about it. The Dwarves playing a special legacy set where they're celebrating all of the classic albums, plus exclusive albums you can only get at the show, plus Death Rockers from the Pit of Hell Zorn, plus Dabbert of Chumbawamba doing some of his solo stuff and maybe some Chumbawamba stuff, plus what? Vixen 77 ripping it off, plus the Mikey Earth Band coming to destroy. It's almost sold out, people. So if you're going to go, why we get tickets real soon? I'm doing a post tomorrow. Only 32 tickets left. What will you do? Oh. We buy a ticket to go, or we'll be left out in the cold like the loser that you are. Come to Summer Soiree 6 and find out. And so, yeah, and more, that's what's happening.
Jeez. Woo! See, gave you the opportunity to hype it again.
That's right. Woo! All right, and more, what tune should we send them on out with? You pick, because you're mixing the episode, not me.
All right. Let's do Change from a Fiver by Rat Cage.
This country to me is finished. There's no way it can get any better. It's just going to get worse. Fire!